I have an audience, okay.
So,
maybe two of closer to
the side.
What about get started, guys? Cool. So, Microsoft Research OData, I'm going to walk through a few things first. I'm going to talk about the problems we're trying to solve and what led us to publishing an OData service. Second, I'm going to just briefly walk you through the service, kind of stuff you query for. And then three, I'm going to show you a very primitive app that I wrote in the last session. Again, it's very primitive. I just feel like for a conference like this, you better download something. It's not worth it. So when we talk about problems that we were trying to solve, a lot of it was based on the way we think about our website. If you go to research.microsoft.com, you will see output from our division, from Microsoft Research. And that might include researcher videos, researcher papers, researcher downloads, researcher projects, and the people themselves. We're sort of unique at Microsoft when you think about web presence, and that we really do pivot everything around the people in the division. So people is a prominent facet for our site. But the thing that we often got asked over time was, hey Frank, could we get a snapshot of your data? I would like everything to be published out to research.microsoft.com so that we can consume it in our space and mash it up whatever. And that was a tricky challenge. We're obviously not going to give people SQL snapshots or send big XML files, although we tried a couple of times. So we were looking around thinking, what's a really good sort of future-proof platform that we could build a public version of our data set? And one of the things that it solved for us was that it gave us not only a semantic protocol, a semantic layer that others could pretty easily query and really kind of leverage as they want to mash up in their own world, but it also allowed us to publish something that was very open. We have a mission beyond my peer at MSR. She works for VP Tony Hay. Tony is really, really passionate about open data, about public data, especially in the academic space, that there shouldn't be any restrictions. You shouldn't have authentication. You shouldn't force people to license this kind of data. So OData served a lot of those kind of needs and sort of found for us. The other thing that it helped us do was getting it out in a semantic form, really played in the web space. So that's where we do a lot of our experimentation and innovation is in the web space. And so what we wanted to try and do is not only have something that's public and open, but something that is going to be very friendly when we think about the modern read-write web. So that allowed us to say, okay, we're using OData. Because it's semantic, it's really easy for us to think about how do you build jQuery clients for it, or how do you write Windows Phone apps, or how do you move into an HTML5 world. So that was another thing that was pretty cool. What's in the data set? You have part of a app or something.
Make sure that you.
As I said earlier, the core of the way we pivot the data is around the people at MSR.
You can actually take C-sharp.
So when you think about people, people becomes not only a way to think about the researcher or the member of MSR who might be working on a particular project, but it also means the relationship to all the other entities that live in the data set. And this is where we have kind of an interesting notion of graphs. So let's imagine you have research
it can
in
be
the middle.
It doesn't mean it's
our graph includes the videos that they publish, includes the papers that they publish, includes the downloads, because we actually do experiment with a lot of stuff. And you look at Jan's team, they push out a lot of bits to research.microsoft.com. There's a lot of stuff that you can download and install and experiment with data. So that's another piece of the graph. Another part is
so
the projects
we
themselves,
be the
because we're always in this sort of research
you
and certification mode. We want to be able to publish what we're doing on the projects. The groups themselves, because you have so many different research areas. Remember, Microsoft Research is all over the planet.
So
we have a lab on every continent now. I think we have just about a lab on every continent.
So
we have groups spread across the planet covering a lot of different research areas. So there's another part of the graph. Another part of the graph is the events.
This back into this.
Again, shout out to Jan's team. They drive a lot of events worldwide. They're crossing the planet and saying, let's gather a bunch of people together. Let's talk about collaboration in the academic space. We need to include all of this stuff inside of our own data data set. So let's talk about where it is.
It just knows the things that are not converted to the data, so it knows to occur.
The URL
is
pretty simple. It's OData. Research.
It does know that.
Microsoft.com.
Basically, like, recognize
guys
the keywords,
my
the right
awesome
places,
writing.
And everything else is
if you go to that site, you'll see not only an FAQ to help you get started, help you understand what's in the data set, but we'll show you a handful of sample queries that you can run so you can start to dive in.
Add a model to this.
The other thing that you can do there is start to give us feedback. When we look at our data V3, some awesome, awesome features coming out of that team. We're now kind of wrapping our brains, and one of the reasons I'm here is how do we want to rev our version of our data to try and incorporate some of those things. And I'm going to break out for a minute in the second half of this talk and talk a little bit about vocabularies and a little bit about social and a little bit about actions, because that's one of those areas that we're thinking really hard about. When you think again about collaboration for what's going on in MSR and collaboration against Article Data Set, we're reluctant to build a bunch of actions into Article Data Set when in fact those actions might be better served coming from the social networks. If we have the social networks liking or sharing or commenting or doing all those cool social things on our data set, I don't really want to build that into our data. So that's something we'll have to think about. In terms of just what you can do with it, I built a really primitive app in the last session. If you've got a smartphone, why don't you go to this URL and go to rmc.cloudapp.net.
So yeah, the
what I've done in this app is I've taken a snapshot of videos from the last time we attended one of these conferences, which was the University of Washington High School. They did an info camp session last fall when we launched this. I've done a filter by University of Washington's videos. I parked that snapshot up on Azure. And then I've basically done just a really simple skinning of it. So you should be able to see that snapshot of videos with University of Washington parked on Azure. Skin, so should flow pretty easy.
So this was the idea that we basically have two OMs.
One more time, that's rmc.cloudapp.net.
You could customize the translation.
And RMC, by the way, stands for research.microsoft.com. It's kind of our acronym for the website.
And this was kind of like maybe
really primitive. Just wanted to give you an idea of what you can do. Cloud-based client, nothing fancy, but if you go back to, say, the Data Explorer talk earlier, it would be pretty interesting to say, let's go out and find some, if you will, related data, do a mashup with MSR's OData service, and see what sort of analysis we can derive from that, or to create our own graph visualization kind of experiment. So let's talk about the social graph.
A little bit provider specific. So it's kind of tricky to do generate.
One of the things that we'd like to be able to do is to really empower the notion of the crowd, the notion of the followers of MSR and research, and especially the collaborators that Jan and her team are driving across the planet, to be able to not only do the usual social like comment kind of stuff, but build on those collaborations to form almost micro communities around a particular area. So let's imagine, let's pick a topic. Just throw me a topic.
Test session?
Yes. Just any of your science topics.
Monitoring.
Okay, cool. All right, so environmental monitoring. What we could do with our OData service is we could pull out some papers, we could pull out some videos, we could pull out some downloads, some events. It'd be pretty easy to create a flat list. Here's a bunch of stuff from MSR in this category, and specifically, here's the different entities that come out of that category. But that's not really that interesting in and of itself. It's kind of static. What would be a lot to really turn it on fire is if you could say, now, take all of this and slice it with the different people across the planet that are either in this space or they're interested in engaging in this space. And you can now start to form the graph of those people and their activities. The challenge with this, of course, is we don't want to build this into the service. It doesn't make sense to build this view into the service. Instead, we'd rather mash up somehow, some way, with everybody who's interested in this space and their activities, and then just push that back out. And maybe this is a set of apps. Maybe these are mobile apps. Maybe these are desktop apps. Doesn't really matter, but we really want to get to this. But as everybody knows, it's super hard to do this, I'll pick on one, in a Facebook space, because they're pretty locked in about their social graph. You can't just go out and grab whatever you want and mine their platform for, say, this slice right here. They kind of lock everything down to, okay, Frank, for your profile, we'll give you the insights, we'll get a snapshot for Frank Martinez. But if Frank wants to go mine Facebook's platform for everything related to environmental monitoring, really, really difficult to do. Even further to say, I want to take everything on Facebook related to environmental monitoring, and I want to show all the people, and I want to show what all of those people are doing. Whether they're posting to their wall, connecting to their networks, et cetera, et cetera. Take this even further. Imagine wanting to do it in a more professional, if you will, kind of network like LinkedIn. Again, super, super difficult. You cannot do that. So this is one of the areas that we're going to continue to explore, how to solve that kind of problem. If we want this view into this kind of list, people and activities, but it's difficult to do if we have to rely on those other networks and platforms. I'm going to open it to discussion. Any thoughts on this? How we might solve this?
Semantic web is trying to solve exactly many of those problems by addressing Spark queries across global database. So they can solve many of those problems. There was some talk about federated OData as well. It could be something you just try to explore to try to build something that in OData.
The problem that we observe in this space is the data sharing. So we're talking about globally how people are observing the environmental changes. They use different sensor networks, they use different hardware that share the data format. So it's probably aggregated. As users, they don't want to worry about that, but they do want to contribute. So this kind of research really enables that kind of data sharing and aggregation. And the participant citizens can choose to become knowledgeable about how it works, or they can just choose to contribute, provide data, and without asking how exactly it's making the world better. So I'm waiting for your data store from this.
It's hard. You want to get there, but it's really, really hard.
So you mentioned one of the problems in doing this is just the data is locked down, right? Facebook is not making available some of the information you need. And it seems like that's not a technical problem, and it's no better solved by RDF and Sparkle queries than it is by OData, than it is by CSV or anything else. It's more of a social aspect of providing enough value to Facebook and participating in this more global view of the world to incent them to unlock that data.
Could be, yeah. Actually, so right now it's locked by doing what we're doing. But perhaps we help unlock the data that's already existing. So it's not like we want to create a data from scratch. It's more of unlocking it so that it can be accessed and discovered and shared.
And to do that, of course, we have to provide enough value to those who are currently locking the data to allow them to relax.
Right, and then the value of all data that we have seen so far is just simple. It's based on HTTP, that's the thing that I use all the time. It's based on HTTP. Who doesn't know HTTP? If you know how to create a piece of information using URL, you know how to create a piece of data using our data. So that's the whole essence of it.
Anything else? Any other thoughts?
One of the other issues is Facebook in particular, they have privacy issues with loads that they have. They don't want their private data out there. They don't want the fact that they are looking at killthewhales.com, you know, or those type of things. They don't want those things published. They want it for their own little group. So how do you handle the fact that Facebook is respecting, trying to respect that, you know, they don't. In a sense, and allowing, you know, or do they make an anonymous data set to come out and say, this could be a killer feature in the world. A lot of too many people are looking at how to kill whales or something like that. I mean, it's something that would environmentally handle.
I guess we're not excluding people to have that data on Facebook. We're just encouraging them to share or unlock so that the data
becomes. But it would have to be an opt-in by the user.
Right. So
well, and like Facebook already has, you know, just show my friends versus show everybody versus different groups.
You'd have to opt in to saying, allow this to go to Microsoft Research or allow this to be external to Facebook.
But is this kind of data that you have on Facebook? I don't think so. Well, at least the friends I have, they don't work-related stuff on Facebook and environment, environmental monitoring and papers you have written and so on. I think, for example, that could be mined from, for example, more standards organizations where publish papers and so on. If they publish information in open format, that could easily be mashed up with the audit that we hear.
I think every network is different. I mean, I'll pick on mine for a second. I actually do have a lot of friends that talk about this. I have a lot of friends who are activists, and they're out there writing books, they're writing papers, they're marching, they're doing this kind of stuff. So I actually do see a lot of this.
Yeah, when BB oil spill happens, you can get a lot of
things. Like a lot of people with a lot of environmental stuff, I see people without environmental stuff. I mean, I see activists, political activists, you know, I get all kinds of those type of things on Facebook, even if I don't want them. And what I don't really like is the search stuff that's on there that shows things. You might like this, even though you had no interest in it, it's only because one of your friends does, which is something that you're going to have, you want to basically not infer upon a person something that wasn't applied to them directly.
That's that boundary we have to be aware of.
That's right.
Alex, since you're sitting here and paying attention, I'm going to pick on those. We need actions for a second. So when I think about the social people activities, these are the actions that we're kind of wrapping our brain around. How do we think about actions related to the likes, the comments, the sharing, all that kind of stuff? I don't want to build what the social networks are doing really well. What are your thoughts on that model?
And the user is looking at that model and constructing a very complex.
Don't have a lot of thoughts. We're not really sure what you're doing
to execute against that model. And the information of that, I'm constructing that model.
Maybe if you tell me more about what you're building.
Well, I'll borrow the Netflix example. So with Netflix, you might think of an action as rate. Rate of movie, that's an action.
We actually
take that to the next level when you think about all these social activities. I'm doing more than rating. I'm commenting, I'm liking. of sharing, you know, all the things you see that he has engineered really well. But does that mean you as an OData producer should build those actions into your data set or just leverage what other platforms are already doing as well?
So actually, let me take it in a different direction. One of the things that I think actions would allow you to a certain degree, and it's not complete, it doesn't take you all the way, is it would allow you to look at, say, Facebook through an OData lens, and then look at their graph through that lens, and so see the actions that they have, things like that, go, okay, well, that's an OData action. In terms of what you recommend for the person building their own service, that really depends on the goal, right? Like, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to replace Facebook? Are you trying to live alongside Facebook? Are you trying to convince Facebook to connect to you? Going to create a Facebook plugin or whatever they call those things. If you are creating a Facebook plugin, are your actions kind of a way to, the ones on your OData service, a way to route things through your Facebook plugin so the data ends up in the right place? That's where you really want to go. But you have this kind of facade which is OData oriented to make it easier for OData. Propagates back to the social graph and all. I think so many options.
Right. But yeah, but those are good ideas to think of and pursue.
Yeah. What do you think?
We have a general sense that there's a lot of activity going on social networks. In a better way. There's a lot of conversations going on in the social networks that relate to our work on SR. And what we're trying to do is make a connection between the things that we publish on researchsoftwaresite.com or OData service with those conversations. Let's imagine just for example that in a handful of networks, let's say 100 people that happen to know about MSR or happen to have friends that work at MSR, that there's 500 wall posts and likes and shares and all these other different things. We'd like to be able to say, can we make a connection to these topics like this? So picking environmental monitoring, if of those 500, a good 60 or 70% are actually actively sharing and commenting and liking and other things like that, how do we make that connection so that we can express that collaboration is occurring and really drive more of it? It's not to just show it as a one-time event, but you want to create more of it. We want more collaboration to occur. Because one of the things that Jan will tell you,
she's the expert
more than I am, but collaboration drives breakthroughs. When you get people collaborating and working together, that's when you have breakthroughs in science. And so we're trying to drive that more and more. But it doesn't make sense for us to try and do it by creating one-off networks. We don't want to be in that business. We're never going to recreate Facebook, nor should we. But we should leverage it as much as we can to drive collaboration, to see where we can expose that, make it even more rich.
So are you thinking that maybe you have this OData service or something like that, that is a facade over data that's in your data that's in Facebook's graph, or?
That's an interesting way to think about it if you look at the Insights service as an example. But it's tricky because, as we've already talked about, they lock everything down so severely.
So, because it's an ambiguous. There's two ways to kind of look at this, right? There's the getting it into Facebook and then the getting it out of Facebook. Right? The facade is really useful as well. If people go through your facade and it ends up in Facebook, and you're happy with Facebook and seeing it being read-only, right? Then you own all the data as well, right? You don't have to get it out. But of course, if people will go to Facebook, maybe out of there as well. So how do you make it bi-directional? And I'm just not familiar enough with Facebook.
It's probably more about unlocking users' motivation from the first place. They used to be, we just dump everything to the garbage. Yeah. One big trash can, right? Now we put recycle this partner thing, recycle this and that. So when a person goes down the garbage, he actually makes a conscious selection. So I'm hoping that when this person go, you know, say something on Facebook, he consciously say, oh, actually this can contribute to environmental monitoring just by one extra half mile or something like that. And then the data is shared not only on Facebook, but also some other applications. But that other application has to be made really easy for them to do. See how easy it is when made for people to recycle things.
And maybe that extra step is just a tag.
And then you have to make it like a fashion to do that.
Game engines that work inside Facebook.
Somebody writes like that at that point is,
you know, you have these games that work on the Facebook platform. Your game is not a game. Right, but if you leverage
the same
capabilities that they give game authors, you get the same benefits out.
Maybe it's a new extensibility that we request from Facebook.
Yeah, but I think it's all there if you think of the exercise of writing a game.
But I think what they're saying is, I'm just doing my regular post. I'm going to the existing mechanisms to do a post, and I just want to tag what I already do. I don't want to do something different. I don't want to have to post in a new way in order to use this game, which is sharing.
It all resolves once you get to the
game. Yes.
So isn't, like, I hear you, but like, I don't know, you're using Facebook at all these days. So you get a whole, like, you click on a link and suddenly this app has posted something on your behalf, and, you know, you click on a link for, like, Guardian News or something, and Guardian News suddenly wants to be trusted by you, and then you're like, well, what is that going to do? Isn't this the same sort of thing, though? Like, I get that you don't really want to do something different, but if you put your stuff inside Facebook in a particular meaningful way, it just happens naturally anyway, right? Like, people click links, and that becomes, like, and then, you know, your application knows about it, right? It gets written to their graph, your application's graph. And
yeah, I think
I know it's not the same as, like, I just want to write a comment, but it is. It seems that it's kind of rich enough that people are living with it anyway, and it's also more than rich. It's kind of nefarious, right? It kind of, like, sucks you in. Right?
Yeah, I think the difference is a starting point, whereas with all the games and stuff, somebody has installed the game and started playing it, and that's posted things on their wall that you react to. And by then clicking on those posts, those have the links that keep you in the game. And that's how you end up getting all the stuff you never expected, because you clicked on something, you didn't know what the heck was going to happen. Whereas what we're talking about here is, I don't want to know there's a game, or be playing a game, or start with something that already exists. I just want to do a new post. And as part of that, you know, there's a little tag there that I can click to say, by the way, you know, this post, you know, in the same way I can tag it with the location or the people in it, I can tag it as an environmental monitoring entry. Then that helps me contribute without thinking about it with a very low bar of entry.
Yes. So, I mean, we use Facebook just as an example. Could be others.
Okay, so I hate to interrupt, but we're sort of out of time for this session. We can still continue this conversation, but we should do it in a different location.
Sure.
We have another plate here.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.